Bible and turn to the book of Luke.
Luke chapter 19. The book of Luke and chapter. Consider a man named Zacchaeus, a very familiar Bible character to most everyone who's been around Bible stories and God's Word for their lives. And there's a lot of truth and a lot of example that we find in the life of Zacchaeus, and we're going to consider him this morning. I want us to read verses 1 through 10 as our text. And the Bible says here, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We know from the life of Jesus and from reading about the account of his life in the Gospels that Jesus truly was a friend of sinners. He was actually a friend to all. And he came to, the Bible says in verse 10 here, to seek and to save that which was lost, which is all men. And so Jesus came to seek and to save all men. He's a friend of all men. He came to seek those that were lost. And it didn't matter in Jesus' mind, one's social position or social standing or social status or lack thereof did not matter with Jesus Christ. His love for mankind extended beyond all of those human boundaries. And I want to take a look at this man Zacchaeus this morning because in the minds of some, Zacchaeus was frowned upon. He was looked on as a lowly person because he was a tax collector. The Bible says he was a publican. He was a tax collector and he was rich. He had all kinds of position. He had all kinds of wealth, but in the minds of some, his social standing was not very good. I mean, the Jews hated the publicans because they collected taxes for the Roman government. The Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, they hated publicans because they thought they were better than everybody else. What I'm saying is, Jesus is a friend of sinners. A person's social position and status doesn't matter. All those human boundaries, the love of Christ extends beyond. And I want to look at this man Zacchaeus this morning, make some applications for us today, because Jesus said concerning Zacchaeus in verse 9, "This day is salvation come to this house." There were some things that took place in Zacchaeus' life that were critical in order for him to be able to come to the place of salvation. And I want to make those applications for us today. First of all, consider this morning with me Zacchaeus' social position. Verse 2 says that, "Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." The Bible says he was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. What was Zacchaeus exactly? Well, he was a contractor of sorts. There were many tax collectors underneath him. Zacchaeus was a man who had ample opportunity for enriching himself. And the Bible says that he was a publican and he was rich. Now, what were the publicans? Well, they were Jewish people, but they were tax collectors for the Roman government. And they were hated by their brethren. Why? Because, first of all, they collected, like I said, for the Roman government. The Jews were under the yoke of Roman control. And it was through taxation that the Roman government was strengthened, but the Jewish people were burdened. And so the Jews hated these publicans because, hey, we're brothers. How in the world could you do this? How could you work for the Roman government? We're under their oppression and their control. They tax us, they get stronger, we get weaker, and you're working for them. So the Jews hated their brethren as publicans because of the collections for the Roman government. But secondly, they were also known for being dishonest and for personal gain. Verse 8, note it says, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. The publicans were known for being thieves. They were dishonest. They were about enriching themselves and making personal gain. What they would do is they would collect the tax that they were supposed to collect from that the Roman government appointed, but then they would make up reasons why the people owed more. And then what they would do is keep the extra that they collected. And so Zacchaeus even alleges to this here in verse 8. He says, if I've taken anything by false accusation. And so here's the Roman tax, and they would come and the tax was levied against the people, and they would collect what was required, but then they would make up reasons why a person owed more money than that, and they would take the difference and keep it for themselves. And everybody knew that. But they couldn't do anything about it. And so these publicans, they were hated by their brethren because they worked for the Romans. But then number two, they were known for being dishonest and personal gain. And so all of these things Zacchaeus had going for him and against him at the same time. This was a person who was a dishonest person, who was all about himself, who was living for personal gain, and so on. And this is the person who he was on the outside. But there was something else going on the inside in Zacchaeus' heart. This is how he had lived his life. But this life did not bring him satisfaction or contentment. He was searching for something else. There was something going on the inside. Look, notice with me the earnest desire of Zacchaeus in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Not only did Zacchaeus want to see Jesus here, I think Zacchaeus wanted to know who this Jesus was. It wasn't just mere curiosity that was driving Zacchaeus. Certainly the fame of Jesus had spread around. He had heard of the miracles that he had performed. Maybe he was curious to see how and to know who this Jesus was. But there was more going on there than just that. He was motivated to see who this Jesus was. That's the very reason, I believe, that Jesus actually stopped to talk with him. Because Jesus knew what was going on in Zacchaeus' heart. If there had not been a deep longing in his heart to know Jesus Christ, no doubt the Lord would have just passed on by. But there was a great longing in Zacchaeus' heart. The Bible says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And there was a whole great multitude of people that were there. But the Bible says that Jesus stopped specifically to deal with Zacchaeus. Why? Because he knew there was something going on in Zacchaeus' heart. This desire that we're talking about here is what drove him to climb the tree to see Jesus. The Bible says he couldn't see Jesus for the press. There were so many people there. Plus, he was little of stature, the Bible says. That desire in his soul to know is what caused him to climb that tree. Somewhere along the line, he had heard about Jesus. Somewhere along the line, he had heard of the works which he did. And somewhere along the line, he was being drawn in his soul to know who this Jesus is. Why? Well, it's the need of every man. I mean, you'd think that if riches could satisfy, if lifestyle was the end of it all and it was the pinnacle, of success, then Zacchaeus would have had it. He was rich, the Bible said. He had everything that you could need or imagine. He could have everything that he could ever want, and he was still not satisfied in his soul. There was something about this Jesus that drew him to know more. And let me make this application here this morning. This is exactly how the Lord reveals himself to sinful men. God gives us a little bit of light, a little bit of understanding of who we are as sinful people. God gives us a little light, a little understanding of the fact that we need something more than what this life offers, something more than what religion gives. There's something that our soul needs that this world cannot satisfy. And God gives a little bit of light. Maybe he exposes someone to the truths of God's word. Maybe they're religious people and they have some sort of a knowledge of God and they claim to know God, but they don't know what true and genuine salvation is. And somewhere along the line, God exposes their need and exposes them to the true gospel to give them a little bit of light. If a person will respond correctly to that light, then God gives just a little bit more and a little bit more and begins to draw to himself. This is Zacchaeus' situation here. Zacchaeus' situation. He'd probably heard about Jesus, maybe heard of the miracles which he had performed. And there was something that was beginning to stir in him and draw him so that he had to know and see who this Jesus is. He sought to know him. There are many in this room this morning that can testify to the fact that at some point in their life, they just had to know if there really was a God. And if God was real, they wanted to know who he was. And this process began in them to stir and to move them. And they were being, there was a longing in their soul to know and to understand. And God began to pull and to draw in their heart. How many of you can testify to that? At some point in your life, I needed to know, is God real? And if he's real, I want to know him and I want to understand. Many across this room raised your hand saying that that was true of your life. Maybe there's someone here this morning who's experiencing that very thing. Maybe you know that you need to be saved. Maybe you have a desire to be saved. But there's something that's hindering or keeping you from being saved. My friend, today, God is drawing. Trying to draw you to himself. Maybe you've been exposed to some truths that you've never known before. That's God giving light, that you might understand your need of salvation. Look with me in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. The Bible says here in this verse, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." God makes a promise to people who truly seek after the Lord. If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, God says, you'll find me. God is not trying to hide himself from mankind. He wants to reveal himself to mankind. In Jeremiah chapter 29, turn over there with me, please. Jeremiah 29, I'll just read it once I get there for the sake of time, and you can follow along. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." Here again, God says there's no way that you won't find God if you seek him with all your heart. Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he is found. Seek the Lord while he's near, the Bible says. God says, you'll find me. There are some people that think that fate brings them to particular places in life. But there are no coincidences with God. I've said it many times, there are no coincidences, there's only divine appointments. Some people think that, you know, the paths that they cross and so on, you know, something as simple as a vacation that somebody would take and they make their plans and they do this and they do that and they end up in a certain place, something as simple as that God can and will use to bring somebody to the place where they're exposed to the truth of God's Word. Something as simple as a job, something as simple as a family activity. Who knows? People think that fate brings them to places and they make their plans and so on. But God has divine appointments for the souls of men to bring light to their life that they can be exposed to their need. And if they'll respond correctly, God will give them more to the saving of their soul. God knows who's searching. God makes people's paths cross with others so that they can hear the truth. And I think this is the place that Zacchaeus was at. He had a desire to know this Jesus Christ. But there was something that was missing in his soul, and he sought to know or to see this Jesus. And let me make this application. Often when a person gets to this place in their life, they begin to experience the very same things that Zacchaeus experienced. When someone comes to the place where they're seeking after truth, they want to know who Jesus is. Maybe they have a desire in their soul to be saved. Something happens. They begin to experience the same things that Zacchaeus began to experience. Note with me back in our text in Luke 19 in verse 3. Zacchaeus began to experience a twofold difficulty. He sought to know Jesus in verse 2. And the Bible says that he could not for the press because he was little of stature. But then you get to, that was in verse 3. He sought to know Jesus, but the Bible says he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Here's a twofold difficulty that Zacchaeus faced. He couldn't see Jesus because of all the people, and because he was little of stature. You know what? A big crowd and a pair of short legs was really a formidable obstacle in the way of seeing. Just ask Katrina. She'll be able to tell you. Oh, she's not even here. She's not even here. A pair of short legs and a big crowd keeps you from seeing the things that you need to see. The hindrance to Zacchaeus, we could make a personal or a spiritual application. Those hindrances for him were both personal and circumstantial. Those hindrances to seeing Jesus were in himself and also in others. And listen, whoever sought the Lord without facing these kinds of problems. See, the devil doesn't want anybody to be saved. And if somebody is searching after truth and beginning to seek after the Lord, the devil's going to come right along here and start to create some hindrances and some problems to keep someone from coming to know the Lord. First of all, there were problems within. Zacchaeus had problems within. Many people run into problems and difficulties and hindrances when they start to understand what coming to Jesus Christ really demands of them. Maybe they have a desire to know the Lord. They want to know this Jesus. But when they start to begin to understand the demands of following after Christ, all of a sudden there's roadblocks and obstacles in their life. Because following Christ requires surrender of the life to the Lord, and a willingness to repent and to turn from all sin. I think this is a big reason why some people do not come to know Jesus Christ. Maybe even some people sitting in this room. An unwillingness in their heart to truly repent and to turn from all of their sin, repent of their desire to control their own life, and because of that, they refuse the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've seen many people, witness to many people, when you begin to expose their life and the vices that they have in their life, and begin to talk about repentance, they say, oh, well, and you talk about the sins of their life. You know what? Maybe they smoke. Maybe they drink. Maybe they run around with women and so on. Their whole lifestyle, the way that they live, they think it brings them happiness and fun. And in order to come to Christ, they got to be willing to let all that go and turn from that in repentance. Like, oh, no, I can't. I'm not going to do that. Can't get saved. Some people say, I had one man tell me, I was witnessing to him, and he basically was all of those things that I just described. He was a smoker, he was a drinker, he partied, he ran around with women, all this kind of stuff. It basically his entire lifestyle. But if you ever want to see heaven, you got to repent of your sin. Be willing to give all that life up and turn to God. And he said, how could I ever live without these things in my life? Well, I said to him, in the moment you don't understand the joy and the fulfillment of a life that's lived for Christ. I could see why you would say, how could I live without all these things in my life? Because those are the very things that you think bring you happiness. But those are the things that you need to yield to God and be willing to turn from. And I told the man, I said, besides this, what good are all of those things that you hold on to? What good are all of those things when you go out into eternity? Those are the very things that are going to cause you to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Those things that you think that you are bring you happiness, those are those things that you hold on to so tightly in this life, you can't take with you in eternity. See, people face these problems within. The Spirit of God begins to convict them, and then all of a sudden, well, what if this and what if that? And there's an unwillingness to yield a control to God, but there's also problems without. Sometimes what keeps a person from coming to Jesus Christ is other people. I've seen this before too. There was a man that I was witnessing to and developed a relationship with him and began to share Jesus Christ with him, and he was under conviction over time, and he knew that he needed to be saved. But the problem was that he was facing is that his wife was always standing in his way. He wanted to come to church. I mean, he wanted to change his life. He was searching for God and for truth, and he wanted to be saved. But his wife was always standing in the way. She's like, oh, why do you need that? Why do you need God? What's the big deal? Everything's just fine in how we live. Praise the Lord, the man finally got saved. Well, as far as I know, his wife never did. But oftentimes people, the thing that keeps people from coming to Christ is other people. See, the devil doesn't want anyone to come to Christ, and he's going to use any means necessary to discourage someone from seeking the Lord. Someone might be under conviction from the Spirit of God. Maybe they're in a service like this, and an invitation is given, and God is saying, you need to be saved, you need to be saved, and they hold on to the pew, and they won't let go, because maybe they think, well, what will other people think of me? I'm supposed to be saved already. What will other people think? And it's the very thing, their pride and their unwillingness, listen, to surrender and yield to God demonstrates the fact that they don't have a repentant heart, but a fear of other people keeps them from coming to Christ. The devil's going to use any means necessary to discourage somebody from coming to the Lord. Those are common obstacles. Personal, circumstantial difficulties that the devil will throw in people's way to keep them from coming to Christ. This is exactly where Zacchaeus was. He couldn't see this Jesus because of the press and because he was little of stature. But you know what? Zacchaeus was not going to be denied. Look with me in verse 4. The Bible says that he ran before. So because he wanted to see Jesus and he couldn't see because of the press and because he was short, and so he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Here we see the determination of Zacchaeus. The Bible says he ran before and climbed up in the tree to see the Lord. Here is the chief of tax collectors. He is the chief of the publicans, who was a rich man who was running and climbing up in trees. And it didn't matter what anybody thought. It didn't matter what anybody said. He had to see Jesus. What was it that drove Zacchaeus and caused this determination? Well, it was the anxiety in his soul and the desperate need that he had to know Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this morning, this is exactly the place that everybody must come to when it comes to the issue of salvation. A desperate need in the soul that says, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody says. I need the Lord. And nothing's going to stop me. Nothing is more important than coming to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing. And everybody needs to come to this point where nothing in their life matters more than knowing Jesus Christ and having their sins forgiven. Zacchaeus would not be denied. Zacchaeus' determination to see Jesus was evidence of his repentant heart. He didn't let the issues and the circumstances stand in his way of seeing Jesus. He was determined. And so must you, my friend. The Lord is speaking to your heart today about your need of salvation. Maybe doubts and fears and things are starting to creep up in your mind, even in this moment. Well, what about this and what about that? God is trying to draw you to Himself. Understand and remember, there is nothing more important than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. A repentant heart and a desperate heart is one that says, I don't care what anybody thinks or says, I have to have Jesus Christ. Don't let the things or the doubts and the fears hinder. Zacchaeus didn't, because we find in verse 6, Zacchaeus' obedience. The Bible says he made haste and came down. So in verse 4, he ran before, he climbed up into the tree. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So here's Jesus' offer, Jesus' invitation. And in verse 6, we see his immediate obedience. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What a prompt response Zacchaeus had. Amen? A prompt response to the master's call led to a joyful reception. All of this, no doubt, proved that Zacchaeus believed on Jesus Christ and he was ready to receive Jesus Christ. And let me tell you this. Listen, a hungry man doesn't need much persuading when there's good nourishing food around. Let me say it again. A starving and a hungry man doesn't need much persuading when there's good food set in front of him. And listen, the same is true with a spiritually hungry soul, a soul that is hungry to know the Lord. It doesn't take much persuading for them to come at the call of the Master. One who is longing to know the Lord doesn't need the persuading of others because the Lord's already persuading him. And maybe there's here somebody today, and God's calling you. Do you hear that call? Zacchaeus' obedience produced two things in his life. First of all, it produced instant salvation. Verse 9 says, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation. Come to this house." Zacchaeus was not saved because of some good work that he did. Zacchaeus was not saved because he was a special person. Zacchaeus was saved only by the grace of God. He sought to know the Lord, but Jesus stopped specifically to deal with him. Zacchaeus was saved only by the grace of God. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God." Salvation is a gift of God. We can't earn it, we can't work for it, we can't be religious, we can't be a good person, we can't do anything to merit favor with God. Salvation is His gift. Zacchaeus wasn't saved because he gave half of his goods to the poor. That wasn't the reason Zacchaeus was saved. It was because he trusted in Jesus Christ. He believed that he was the Son of God. He repented of his sin. Look in John chapter 20 with me. John chapter 20. Bible says in John 20 and verse 31, "But these are written," what's written? The words of Scripture. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." How is it that we find eternal life? By believing in Jesus Christ. Somebody says, "Oh, I believe in Jesus Christ." But you notice in this verse that it says that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what this means? This is recognition of His deity. It's a recognition of His lordship. It's a recognition of the fact that He's the Master. Listen, it takes a repentant heart for a person to say, "I want God to rule my life. I give up self-control. I want God to run my life." The only way a person can be saved is a recognition of the deity of Jesus Christ, that He's Lord, that He's Master, with a repentant heart, and then putting my faith and my trust in Him alone. John 1:12 says that as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. How? By believing on His name. Zacchaeus wasn't saved because of some good work that he did. He wasn't saved because he gave half of his goods to the poor. He was saved because he trusted in Christ. What did this obedience to the Lord's command to come down produce? Well, it produced instant salvation, but secondly, it produced a glorious change in Zacchaeus. Look at verse 8. Go back to Luke 19 and look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Is this the same guy? Is this the same Zacchaeus? Is this the same one who is known as being a thief, who robbed from people? Is this the same guy? No, it's not. Here's a guy, instead of taking, now he's restoring and giving back. This salvation, this Jesus Christ coming into his life produced an amazing change. He restored what he had stolen. He gave half of his goods to the poor. It's not the same guy. Listen, this is the new Zacchaeus. This is the born again Zacchaeus. And this is exactly what happens when a person comes to know Jesus Christ. If a person is truly saved, their whole entire life changes. Maybe they're not a person who has all kinds of sin or all kinds of gross immorality or all kinds of wickedness in their life. Maybe they don't have all that stuff. But listen, when God gives you a new heart, there's a real change. Maybe it's a change in the attitude. It's a change in the spirit. It's a change in the way that you respond to correction. All of the whole life changes. There's a sweetness in the spirit of somebody who truly knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's not a hard, rebellious, stony heart, but a sweetness about the spirit, because God changes a person completely. Amen? Maybe you've known somebody like that, who they were before they were saved. Grumpy, grouchy, whatever, all the time. And then God comes in and changes their life and makes them a new creature. And all of a sudden, people are like, whoa! Because this person has joy and a smile on their face and a sweet countenance and a sweet spirit about them. Whoa! What happened to you? I got changed. I got converted. I got saved. God gave me a brand new heart. And you know what? I'm sorry for how I used to treat you. I'm sorry for all the problems I caused you. God made me brand new. I'm not that person anymore. That's real salvation. That's what happened with Zacchaeus. He said, Lord, all the things that I've tried to enrich myself with, all the goods that I have, I give half of my goods to the poor. That doesn't matter to me anymore. And if I've done wrong by people and taken things from people by false accusation, I restore it to them fourfold. What a change, amen? That's what happens when a person truly comes to know Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of religion. Whole lot of religious people. And they say, oh, I'm saved. Yeah, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm good. I know God. Yep, I got a good relationship with God. But their life is still full of immorality. Their life is still full of rotten attitudes. Their life is still full of all the sin that they've always had in their life. Nothing has ever changed about them. There's no before and after in their life. Oh yeah, I know God. Yep, I'm good. I got my religion. But they don't have salvation, because salvation changes a person. Amen? Because it's supernatural. It's a work of God. It's not just some religious work of man. We can't change ourselves. And you know what? God's not looking for reformation in a person's life. He wants a repentant heart so that He can change the heart. And after you're saved, God's truly going to change your life just like Zacchaeus. Let me ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Truly, 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 are you saved? Is your life different? Have you been changed? Do you have the witness of the Holy Spirit of God in you? That I'm a child of God. Maybe you're here this morning, God is calling. All these thoughts are running through your mind. Fears and hindrances and doubts, the devil's plaguing you, giving you all kinds of reasons why you shouldn't. Be like Zacchaeus. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. I need Jesus Christ. Be saved today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd accomplish your will in people's hearts today. And I don't know the hearts of any. Father, as you speak, I pray that there would be a tender, submissive, immediate response, just like Zacchaeus had when Jesus called him to come down. He obeyed. And the result was that this day, salvation came to his house. Father, would you work in hearts? In Jesus' name, amen.